Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. Looking forward to another poem. This week you've chosen a topic that I know very little about. You're going to help us understand when a capsule endoscopy is better or worse than push endoscopy to look at GI bleeding. First of all, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the capsule endoscopy, and then what did the authors actually study?
Yeah, this is, I think, new to many of us in primary care. I certainly didn't know too much about it till I looked into this article and spoke with some people. There are actually folks at our institution at the Medical College of Georgia who are studying this for a variety of indications in the primary care office. It's a pretty interesting technology. It's a little capsule, and it's, I shouldn't say little, it's small when you consider what's in it. It's big when you consider that you have to swallow it. It's obviously a single-use kind of device. They cost several hundred dollars. And basically, it has a little camera that wirelessly transmits images at a rapid clip as it tumbles through the GI tract. And it's able to visualize various places along the GI tract, depending on the prep, and is being studied for a variety of indications. In this study, this was a group of French researchers, and they were looking at obscure GI bleeding, and that's bleeding that you still don't know the source even after the patient has had an upper and a lower endoscopy. Often the next step is to do push enteroscopy to try and visualize at least part of the small bowel, but that's pretty invasive. It requires sedation, and it doesn't let you see the entire small bowel. So capsule endoscopy is an alternative that's somewhat less invasive. You know, once you choke down that horse pill with the camera in it, it's really not much to it beyond that. The patient has to be moved into various positions, but you know, there's no sedation required. In this study, they took a group of 78 patients who had overt bleeding within the past 6 months, or who had a chronic iron deficiency anemia and a negative workup. And the workup included the usual upper and lower endoscopy, a Meckel scan if they were under 30. After the initial study, a definite bleeding source was found in 20 of 40 patients who had the capsule first, compared to only 9 of 38 that had the push enteroscopy first. The follow-up push enteroscopy, which was done in the patients who had the capsule group, found 3 additional lesions, but if they had the push enteroscopy first, the capsule found additional lesions in 10 out of 29. So the percentage of missed lesions was significantly lower with capsule endoscopy first, and fewer patients needed to have that second procedure if they had the capsule endoscopy first. Push enteroscopy missed some lesions that were detected by the capsule, but the capsule detected all of the small bowel lesions that were initially seen with the push enteroscopy. So this is a technology I think we need to keep our eyes on. I think there are issues around cost effectiveness and appropriate indications that we're going to have to sort out. For example, it's being looked at as a way to detect Barrett's esophagus in the primary care office, among other things. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we're not just doing more, that we're actually doing good for our patients. Telling someone that they have a little tiny segment of Barrett's, frightening them to death and subjecting them to frequent upper endoscopies may not be doing them any significant favor. The new technology, I think we need to learn about it, but I also think it's important that we study it and keep those patient-oriented outcomes in mind.
I would imagine that it's extremely difficult to blind these kinds of studies, either to blind the patients or obviously to blind the providers, so that we're going to have a hard time looking at randomized controlled trials. Do you know, Mark, are these cameras recyclable?
No, they're one-time use. Once they've been through someone else's digestive tract, be a hard to get another patient to swallow them. But technically, they probably could be sterilized, but I think it's probably a patient acceptability issue.
How big are these? Are these, you know, you said a giant pill, but are we talking?
Yeah, you know, it's about, I saw one, I mean, it's about, gosh, I'm guessing about an inch and a half long and maybe 3/4 inch in diameter.
I've not had an endoscopy ever, But even given the description of that pill, I'd rather, you know, choke and gag and swallow that pill than I would have that tube down my throat.
Yeah. I think it's really got potential. And obviously, you can't do biopsies if you do see something abnormal, but as a screening test or as sort of a pre-screen for patients with GERD or, you know, who are considering colonoscopy, I mean, I think it's, the technology will only get, it'll only get smaller and better, you know, over time.
Thanks, Mark, for your wisdom this week. We'll talk with you again next week. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Bye.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.